that. But also, you are a woman of service. You volunteer for, I know you're on the board for the Urban League and many other not-for-profit organizations. Mm-hmm. But then I discovered you're a mom. You're a mom of two beautiful girls. So
yeah.
That is awesome. So first, we want to understand, how do you do it all? How do you really manage it all?
Well, let me tell you, it is not easy. Let me just get that out the way, right?
Got it.
But I think when this year, my theme has been living with intention.
Oh, okay.
And when you are intentional about everything in your life, things just start to flow organically. So as you mentioned, I have two little girls, Kayla and Leah, ages 8 and 11.
8 and 11. Wow. Yes. So you haven't hit those teen years. So
not yet. Not yet. But I don't know. The 8-year-old's going on 40.
Oh.
So. But, and like you mentioned, I've been in the financial industry for over 15 years. I actually started off as a teller. And I always like to share that because that's a huge part of my story, because typically you don't see senior executives start from literally at the bottom, but from the front line.
Wow.
And so that that's a huge part of my journey. And I was able to, of course, work my way up. I've held various positions, personal banker. I was a mortgage consultant and during the crisis, supervisor, assistant manager, manager, and then district manager for 5 years. And now I am with one of the top financial institutions as an executive market director in Manhattan.
Oh, that is amazing. So before we're going to start with understanding the importance of savings.
Yes.
So Warren Buffett talks about, and you know, when Warren Buffett speaks, everybody listens.
Oh, yes.
But he mentions that you should save first and then spend, versus most of us, we spend and then whatever's left over, we leave for savings. So tell me what you think about that and how do you approach it?
Yeah, so it's an interesting concept, and I grew up with that same thought process. Let me try to pay all my bills first.
Yes.
And then whatever I have left over, I'll see what I can put aside.
Yes.
But when you begin to think about money is it being involved in a relationship. Right?
Yes.
And some of us have good relationships and some of us have bad relationships.
Yes,
right?
We do. Or at times.
At times, the relationship might change, right? That's how I view this concept with money. And so the most important person is you.
Okay.
You are the most important person in your life.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
And so why not pay you first? You work hard. You get up every single day. We all are busting our butts just to make ends meet.
Yeah.
So why not pay you first?
Okay. Pay you first. Okay.
Pay you first. So the concept goes is just kind of thinking about, and of course you have to sit down, and I know we're going to talk about budget in a minute, but first you need to know how much can you afford to pay yourself.
Okay.
And then have that money come out automatically first, before you pay all of your bills.
And what does that what's that money for? Is it savings just for yourself?
It could be savings for you.
Okay.
It could be an emergency. It could be whatever you want to be intentional about achieving in your life.
Okay.
For example, I love to travel. And for those that follow me on social media platforms, you'll see I love to travel. So I'm very intentional about my traveling and savings. And I put away $250 every single check to go aside for that purpose.
Wow.
So it's paying Shakira.
Well, Shakira,
right?
Listen, if you're not following this woman, follow her, because she just got back from Thailand. I'm going to do a show about fabulous women taking vacations, because her posts were absolutely gorgeous and you look like you were having a good time. So
really
pay yourself first.
Whatever. I don't care. And I know, of course, many of us are at different stages in our life, and I want to recognize that. So maybe you can't afford to do the $250, but whatever. We all can put something away, $25, $50, put something away for an emergency. Pay yourself first.
Pay yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
Well, many of us deal with some of the shame in, because we may be paying ourselves too much, meaning we're getting all this debt, and there's so much shame surrounding the debt conversations. I mean, most people don't want to talk about money, period.
Right.
But
it's an uncomfortable topic.
Yeah. Should we talk about budget and then debt? Or how should we flow this? Because now the first thing you've told us right now is pay yourself first.
Pay yourself first.
And savings or for trips. So that's the first tip for us. And that's definitely something that I've not done in the past. So something I'd like to incorporate. Pay myself first.
Yes.
But then now let's talk about, well, how do you figure out a budget? Because
So let's talk about the budget, because I am a stickler, and I don't care how much money you make. I know very wealthy people that don't feel like they're wealthy because money's coming in, money's going out, because they have no budget. They have no organization. So the first tip is write it down, create some type of budget. You need to know, what are my monthly expenses that are non-negotiable? So we all have either some sort of rent or mortgage payment, right? Most majority of folks have like a car note. Unless you're in a city, you have your metro travel, some type of travel expense. And you sit down and you write everything from the biggest on down to the smallest, right?
Okay.
And even budgeting for miscellaneous, because miscellaneous can be small, or it can get a little bit big if we don't manage it. And what I mean by miscellaneous, it could be gas.
Okay.
It could be your hair, your nails, right?
That all beauty
those,
budget.
Right, that beauty budget. That all good those little beauty things. Budget. So have a miscellaneous category. And then from there, what I do is I look at each bottom line and see, how can I make that payment a little bit shorter? So if I have a mortgage, maybe it's refinancing and lower my interest rate to lower that monthly payment.
Okay.
If it's a car note, maybe I can refinance and get a lower interest rate. If it's my cable bill, maybe it's picking up the phone, and maybe I need, am I getting the best rate on the bundle package, or do I need to have the bundle package? You know, it's negotiating.
Yes.
I've
okay.
called several times the Comcast and literally have gotten them to cut my budget a good $60. A lot of folks don't think about your insurance.
Yes.
Are you getting the best interest rate with your insurance plan?
Okay.
Right? So meaning either your car insurance, your term, your life insurance, all of those things, you should be calling each one to see, how can I cut the cost of that every single month?
Every single month?
Oh, I mean, that's your monthly expense.
Okay.
So, I mean, calling to see if it needs to be analyzed on a monthly basis, right?
Is there a formula that you should specifically spend X amount of your income on your house, or X amount of income on a car? Is there some type of formula, or you just have to prioritize where you are?
I think it's about prioritizing where you are.
Okay.
But what I will say, which I know we'll get into a little bit later when we get juicy into the debt and the credit piece.
Yes.
Lenders are typically looking for a borrow to be at 42% or low, and that's where they measure your debt versus your income ratio.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
A lender wants to know, I can lend this applicant money, and they are going to be able to comfortably afford to pay that payment back responsibly. And I think that's kind of the mismanagement that got us in a lot of trouble during the mortgage crisis, is because we were approving folks who really didn't have the capacity to pay back on paper.
Yes.
So you want to try to stay between that 42% of your overall debt versus income.
Okay, 42%.
That's typically like a good rule, right?
Okay.
If you can go lower, I mean, great. But again, I'm talking to the average person who may need to utilize their debt to help them out on a monthly basis.
Yeah, and I, you know, I will say, I've been, before, you know, coming on the show, I start to really think about that in a different way.
Yes.
And I was watching Susie Orman. She has a show
her.
On OWN
yes.
called the Masterclass,
mm-hmm.
and about money, you know, talking about money.
Money.
And yeah, money. That's her theme. That's her theme. It's so cute. But I watched all like 5 episodes or 6 episodes, and one of the things that stood out to me, she was like, you should live below your means.
Absolutely.
And within your needs.
Absolutely. But that's the hardest thing.
Yeah. How do you do that? Let's really talk very real. Right now, if there's a person that's saying, hey, I have debt and I'm trying to get out of debt, what should they do? How do they live
below their means?
And
that goes back
means.
To creating that budget and seeing what you have coming in. And once you know what is mandatory that you have to pay, anything left over is yours. So figure out, what could I afford? If you've got $1,000 left over every check after paying all of your bills, put at least half, if not 75%, away.
Put it away.
And work off, budget off the $250, put the $750 away. You know, do you need to spend the whole $1,000? That's what she means with that concept of living below your means.
Below your means.
Below your means. Being, you may have it, but doesn't mean I need to spend it.
I will tell you just a funny story. When I was in grad school, I lived off of $500 a month.
Wow.
And I was living good, you know. And it didn't even bother me. So it's interesting when you talk about the more you have, sometimes the more you spend, you don't feel like. Because even right now, $500 a month, you know. That's not a lot, but no. I look good.
But what did? But if you think about it, at that time in grad school, what bills did you have? Maybe a car. A cell phone bill.
Maybe.
And
yeah.
Your hair. So you really didn't have much expenses.
That's true.
So that's the thing. Cutting back on those expenses.
Wow, I'd love to go back to those good old college undergrad days when I was in my daddy's pocket. So now let's talk about debt, because I think that. By far is probably the most difficult thing to have a conversation about for most people, and we want to get out of it. And so my question is there good debt and bad debt? First, let's tell me.
There is.
Okay.
So obviously, you know, your mortgage, that's good debt.
Okay. Right?
That's how you build equity. That's how most people build wealth.
Okay.
Especially in the United States, right?
Okay.
So home ownership is what we consider good debt.
Okay.
Car note. I think that's could be good debt.
Okay.
Right? If you don't need a vehicle, but you have one, and it's a payment that is really killing you every month, but you could afford. I mean, most of us need a car to get back and forth to work.
Yeah.
I've been reevaluating, do I need mine now that I commute into the city every day?
Hmm.
So it's like I'm paying those commuter fees plus the car note. So
yeah.
I think each person, individual situation is going to be different. And
okay.
That's for them to assess. But then you have your credit card debt. Right.
Let's talk about that.
Yes.
What I have found, there's a depression that people spend.
Yes.
And then they're depressed about their credit card bills, but then they go and spend even more.
Spend more. So think about the psychology behind that. Right?
Okay.
When we buy something, what's that emotional attachment that we have? What's that immediate gratification that we get? You know, I'm in the Chanel store, and I mean, you think that it makes you feel better because you're walking out of there with a Chanel bag. But can
now
I really
that would make
it?
Me feel good today. I'm just being real, y'all. Chanel would be, I would be happy. But no, you know.
But right.
Really.
I mean, $5,000 a bag, that's half your down payment on a property, right?
Ooh.
And so, and I was that girl. And I said, I don't want to be the girl with the $5,000 bag without $5,000 in it. You know?
That is, so that, to me, that is one of the biggest tips today.
Right.
Manage your finances based on need.
Right.
Not want.
Not off of want. But positioning yourself to get other investments, because now I have four properties where I get rental income coming in.
Mm.
So if I want the Chanel bag, the money's
okay.
not coming out of my day-to-day expenses.
Okay.
I have income that's coming in from different revenue streams, which could afford that fix or that thing that I like.
Okay.
So it's how do we get our audience to get to that point where they start building some additional income revenue streams.
Give us three things that we should do right now to not get rid of our debt, just to bring our debt down. I mean, ultimately, if your goal is to get rid of the debt, that would be huge. The bad debt, not the good debt. Because would you advise someone to pay off their house as well? But
absolutely. If you can afford it, or one concept that I think a lot of people do not take advantage of is making a biweekly payment. When you make a biweekly payment, there's two options you have. You can actually call your lender and request, do you have a biweekly amortization program? Because what they're going to do is they're recasting your loan every 15 days versus every 30 days, which shaves anywhere from 6 to 7 years and thousands of dollars off your principal loan amount. So that's the first thing. If your lender doesn't, and not all lenders have it, you can make a decision and say, I'm going to apply half of my payment every biweekly, and it's still going to shave off thousands of dollars. But the importance is getting the lender to recast it. So that's one thing.
Okay.
To your question regarding paying off debt, let me just make this one statement, because I think it's a huge, unfortunately, disadvantage that the African American community has, where most of us graduate with debt, student loan debt. And so student loan debt is a big part of our monthly expenses that I suggest continuing to pay,
okay,
but still finding ways to save and trying to pay off the credit card debt.
Okay.
Most people are familiar with the snowball effect, where you start with the card that's the most smallest,
okay,
right? So if
okay,
you have a card with that has a balance of $100,
okay,
you're going to pay that off first. Pay that
okay,
one off first. Then whatever payment you was making, if it was $25 or $50, take that and now add it to the next card.
Okay.
Right? So it's two things about that. One, you get immediate gratification because you feel like you're doing something.
Yes.
You're like, okay, well, that's one card, scratch that off, right?
Yes.
But then you keep applying that same payment, you know, but just towards the next bill.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So it's, you already had planned that budget. If you had that other card, you were putting that money out every month. So why not just apply it to the next card?
Okay.
And eventually you feel like you're getting something accomplished because each card, you can cross that off and you feel proud, and that's something to celebrate. So a lot of people love the snowball effect, right? Student debt, it's going to be there. It's hard to get away, but it's going to be there. So you have to find a way to manage that.
Not if Bernie Sanders becomes our next president.
He said he's going to wipe everything off, right?
Listen, I'm sure that would be fabulous. And
yeah,
I'm going to just shift a little bit.
Let's
so because we're talking about student debt. So do you think, do you think parents should actually pay for their students, you know, their children go to college so they don't have debt? So, for instance, if you can afford without putting you in a financial situation,
right,
should you pay it all for your child for undergrad? Do you recommend that? Or should they go out and get loans and you pay those loans off?
So again, everybody's situation is different.
Okay.
What I will say is the earlier you can start, the better off.
Okay.
Okay. My ex-husband and I both put $500 away each paycheck for the girls' college tuition. So we've started that since they were babies.
Okay.
When they were babies, we started buying savings bonds, which are very important because we want to prepare. Now, the reality is some people can't afford that,
yeah,
right? So maybe getting those student loans and helping your kids pay for it that way, or being a co-signer, those are the options that they have.
Okay.
I think we tend to forget about there's tons of grants. There's tons of scholarships that are out there,
okay,
for you if you are women of color, you know, if you live, yeah, in a certain community, if you are left-handed, you know, there's so many scholarships, seriously, that are out,
really,
there. I recommend parents setting that time aside with your children, and a lot of it, you just have to write an essay.
Okay.
And, you know, to qualify.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
know, or some of it may be income based, but let's exhaust those options first.
Okay.
And then at the very least, if you weren't in a position where for 10 years when your child was zero, you know, from 1 to 10, start savings, then you have to exhaust those other options. Is what loans can I take out? How,
okay,
can I meet my child halfway?
Okay.
Another thing that I recommend that a lot of people don't do is if you can put your child on your credit cards as an authorized signer, if you have good credit, because,
okay,
it starts to build their credit up through high school. So when they go to college, and if they need to apply for a loan, they already have some type of established credit.
Right.
But your credit got to be good first. So let me just say that if you have good credit, add them on as authorized user so they could start to get some credit.
And let's be clear, she's not saying take Junior's,
right,
name and get a credit card.
Oh, please don't do that.
Okay, and LIPA, that is another show. So no,
right,
we know we are good women here,
yes,
and we are,
women,
you know, definitely living lives of, you know, of excellence. So.
Yes.
I'm going to take a quick break. We have to do a quick commercial. You know, we have to pay those bills. And we'll be right back. And we're going to discuss the biggest mistakes women make in financially.
Okay.
So when we get back.
Can't wait.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care. At a moment's notice, Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hello and welcome back to Good Women Mean. This is Kimberly Hairston Hicks, and our show, as you know, it's all to inspire goodness. I definitely want to thank everyone that's watching via Facebook Live. We so appreciate you. Don't forget to like the page, Good Beauty. Just hit like and come visit us every Friday at noon. We do a lunchtime chat with women like Shakira Green, who's in the building today, and helping us really with our finances. So, as women, tell us, what are some of the biggest mistakes that you find that women make dealing with our finances?
So, let's go off of some facts, right?
Okay. We love facts.
Yeah. So, because facts are important, 46% of Americans don't have $400 put aside for a savings or an emergency.
Wow.
Right? When you think about the most educated segment, it's women.
Okay.
And also African-American women.
Okay.
Right? So that comes with an incredible amount of debt. But I think the biggest mistake that we make as women is not putting ourselves first.
Okay.
In the African-American community, 81% of women are household breadwinners.
81%?
81%.
Does that mean we're single or we just are the bosses in our households?
A lot of it is due to being single.
Okay. Okay.
Right? So I think it's so important that we tend, and I don't care what your nationality is, we tend to put everyone else first.
Ourselves.
If you're a mom, you are taking care of that household, your husband, your family, your parents in some situations. So we don't tend to take care of ourselves. And when I mean that, I'm talking about financially, because we always look good.
Yes, we do.
We're going to make sure our hair and nails and we're sharp to a T. But I am talking about financially taking care of ourselves.
Okay.
And I mean saving. I mean putting something aside. I mean contributing to some type of 401k or pension plan if your job offers it.
Okay.
If you're an entrepreneur, creating some type of SEP account, which stands for Self-Employed Pension Plan.
I didn't even know that those existed.
Yes.
So
you can offer them, and you can offer them not only for yourselves, but for your employees.
Wow.
Every bank has them.
Okay.
You know? So I advise everyone to go back and talk to your financial advisor if you're a business owner. And that also helps with the retention piece, right? Because people want to work for an employer that's contributing to them.
Yes.
So I think with women, we have to start to also have the tough conversation.
Hmm.
No one wants to tell anyone else their business. No one wants the other woman to think of them as less or that they don't have their stuff together.
Yes.
And we need to start to share, because I'm going to tell you, men share.
Okay.
Oh, they share on the golf course.
Okay.
They share at the good old boys club. They even share in their group chats. So, but I think as women, if we could remove the insecurities, and that's why I am one, I don't care what resources I have,
yeah.
I share. When I purchased my first investment property, I called my girlfriend up, my best friend, Yesira, because she's an engineer. And I knew she had quite a bit of money in savings. And
okay.
I was like, girl, you need to come down here. I'm having this property built for only $100,000. $10,000.
Wow.
Mortgage payment is $5-something. I'm going to rent it out for $1,250. Collect about $600-700 additional. That's extra income coming in.
Yes.
But I'm more concerned, like, in 5 years, if I hold on to this, the equity is going to go up. And I'll, you know, hopefully it'll go up at least 50 to 100. And so guess what? Because she trusts me, I said, I'll go down there with you. I'll go to North Carolina with you. Mm-hmm. You can introduce you to my contractor, and we can get it going. And she went, and she has her property. Now we have a little joke. She texts me every 15th of the month. Woo, woo, woo. The direct deposit hit. But I think that's what it's about. It's about community of building a community of women, coming together, sharing our resources.
Okay.
And we got to do more of that.
Are there groups that we can join? Are there, like, group chats? Because you mentioned group chats. So I'm like, okay, are there financial group chats that do you do, or can you start?
Yes. So, shameless plug, you know. And again, I'm not here representing J.P. Morgan Chase at all. I'm here representing Shakira Green. But, of course, you know, we have a dynamic CEO, T. Tasunder Duckett, and she started Currency Conversations. It's a campaign that we had with in partnership with Essence.
Okay.
That's one group that I know I'm personally a part of, and I encourage many women to be a part of, the Currency Conversation.
Okay.
You can hashtag Currency Conversations or go to www.currencyconversations.com, and you can sign up, and it is exactly what I just said, to foster a community of women to support each other. You can take a pledge. The pledge is to yourself.
Okay, whatever the pledge is.
You do not have to be a customer of Chase, but it's for you. And she is so passionate about women helping each other. So that's one that I would love to for others to join.
Okay. And women, are there, like, a couple of things that we should be doing at certain ages? So if you are, okay, can you give advice for someone just graduating from college?
Yes.
I'm thinking of life stages. Mm-hmm. Maybe perhaps someone just getting married.
Okay.
And then either someone that finds themselves widowed or
divorced. Such as myself.
Yeah. Are there, like, something that you could give at those life stages? Because I think those are scary life stages, for one. And then financially, are there things that we should be doing?
Great question. I love this. So let's start with the college girl, right?
College girls, listen up.
So I would say, when you're graduating and you get that first job,
okay,
contribute to whatever employer's 401k or pension. And I'm going to tell you why. I had a sister girl, Sharnice. I was working at the Gap. I was 16 years old.
Okay.
She pulled me to the side, and my first day of onboarding, you know, they get you your keys or teach you what you're supposed to fold the jeans. And she goes, "You're going to sign up for some Gap stock." And I was like, "Gap stock? What's that?" And she explained it to me. You're going to invest in the company. You're going to buy some ownership in the company. And I was like, "But I can't afford that." And she says, "Well, how much are you making now?" And I was like, "Nothing. I need a job." She goes, "Well, there's no excuse to why you can't put that away. Most employers will match."
Okay. Right? Listen, ladies.
You know, so at Chase, they match up to 6%.
Okay.
6% in, you know, dollar for dollar. And when you're fully invested after 10 years, then, you know, that means you can get everything. So I would say to that girl out of college, don't think you can't afford to invest in yourself, participate in your retirement or some whatever pension plan. And if your job doesn't offer it, go to your local bank and start in a retirement account, a regular traditional IRA account, and see a personal banker, and they could sit you down and explain to it.
Okay.
So that's the first
thing. Love it. College girls, if you are a college girl and just graduating, 401k key.
401k key.
Or retirement fund.
Retirement.
Just put away for yourself. Because you think 30, 40 years will. It's so far away, but it's not.
It's not, but also that was how I purchased my first home.
Oh, okay. You see?
I had to withdraw for a first-time home buyer without a penalty.
Oh.
Yes. See? These are jewels that we need to share.
And did everyone know that? that? Because I did not know that. I owned, yeah. I, you know, in my lifetime, I purchased two homes, and I never knew that.
Yes,
so
you're allowed to withdraw if you're a first-time homeowner.
First-time homeowner. Okay.
Homeowner from your pension or 401k.
That is a jewel of information. Yeah. Okay.
And see your tax consultant for more information.
Okay.
Protect the consumer.
Yes.
So that's the first one. The second one you mentioned was the woman who's preparing for either marriage.
Yes,
right,
she's getting married.
Baby.
But yes, right? A life change. Yes, exactly.
So weddings could be very, very expensive.
Yes.
I opted not to have a wedding when I was getting married.
Okay.
Because he said, I can't do both. You want a wedding or you want a house? And I said, let's take that 25, 30 grand and put it on a house.
But smart girl.
Personal decision.
Smart girl.
You know, and then what we did was give each other great anniversary gifts.
Okay.
But that's not the typical woman. Like, most people want that fairy tale dream, that wedding. And that's great. And I don't want to take that away from anyone.
Yeah.
So, because the second time I'm getting me a wedding, I'm having a wedding.
She's single. So, any brothers out there listening? Oh, I don't know. Actually, I shouldn't say, are you single?
That
dating. Dating. Sorry. See, I'm a matchmaker by heart.
But so I would say set that auto transfer for a separate account, whether it be your wedding account or
okay.
a preparing for baby, because babies are expensive. Child care is expensive. So I would say be intentional, again, about what your life journey is and
okay.
what you want to accomplish. And then for the last one,
if you are getting married, and you know, should you have separate from your spouse, your mate?
So I recommend yes.
Okay, I was just curious what you.
Yeah.
What
so
you
I
thought
recommend,
about that.
Of course, having some type of joint account.
Okay.
You know, because mm-hmm. bills may come in, and that's each couple's personal decision. So yes, you want to have that joint account. But ladies, my mother always told me. You always make sure you have your own, because mm-hmm. if he can't pay for dinner and if he decides to walk out, you want to make sure that you have your own coins put aside.
Yes,
so
I agree with that.
That was how I was
raised. I do. I come from a traditional household. My mom, tradition in the sense that my mom managed all the bills, right? She took care of everything. And so, you know, my husband and I, we, you know, he takes care of it, but I am aware of everything. And, you know, there are no restrictions, but it's always, mama always needs a little side.
A little
side money.
Something on the side, right?
Yes. So now, unfortunately, they're divorced and people unfortunately pass away.
Right.
Are there things that we need to think about financially during those times?
Absolutely. And I could say that, you know, unfortunately, when I went through my situation, and I love to share my journey with other women because it's important.
Yes.
But, you know, it was the most powerful and rewarding thing that I could do for myself,
okay.
also for my baby girls. And when we split, we sold the home.
Okay.
We moved out of one house and moved into a new one all on the same business day.
Oh. And now,
so,
this is a bonus.
Okay. Because I was not going to change my children's lifestyle.
And okay.
So you want to position yourself to whether you're good with them or without them.
Okay.
And all those other tips that I shared. Contributing to my 401k, making sure I had a savings set aside, making sure I kept my debt and my credit good, allowed me to position myself when things unfortunately didn't work out anymore.
I love that. I do. And I'm definitely an advocate for marriage,
me
happy
too.
Marriages. So that's not, but I do feel like women don't. Most times are not empowered. And when situations happen, they are looking for that other person, man, most times, to save them.
Yeah.
And to me, that's just a message that you don't want to give to your daughters. You want to be able to say, yes, I can, not necessarily we don't need men, because we do. But in times when that is not working out, let's not stay in situations because of a financial challenge.
Yes,
so,
and a lot of women stay in domestic violence situations because I do a lot of volunteer work, as you mentioned, with the Urban League.
Yes.
The nonprofit organization. She wins.
She wins. Oh, okay.
Yes, because when she wins, we all win.
We do.
Shout out to Dorian. She's the CEO, young lady I met when she was 17 years old, and she started her own nonprofit. She's from North.
Wow.
So we work with a lot of young girls and women who unfortunately are in domestic situations, and they stay.
Okay. Okay.
Because that man is the breadwinner.
Yes.
We don't want to be that. We want to position ourselves to love on our men and meet them where they are, but also if it doesn't work out, we'll be okay.
I love that. Now we're going to talk a little bit about estate planning.
Okay.
And it's interesting because my husband and I just did our living wills, and they were called love wills or love, and it really was so easy to do, and I'm kind of embarrassed that it took us so long. We've been married going on 3 years.
Okay.
And it took us a while to get it done, although we said initially, oh, we need to do this. We need to make sure that in case something happened to one of us or both of us, unfortunately,
right.
that you know, the two people in our lives that would need us the most, you know, our daughter and our niece, would be okay financially.
Yeah.
So, and I just heard that, you know, major celebrities like Aretha Franklin died without a estate plan, and John Singleton. So,
oh, wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can you share the importance and how do people go about that?
So very important, and it's so funny you say that because I was just having a conversation with a friend that we can't have GoFundMe be the end-all be-all. We have to prepare ourselves, especially in the African-American community, you know. I'm very, very passionate. But also, it speaks to your legacy.
Yes!
So your legacy is, what do you want to be known for? What do you want when you pass away? What do you want to have accomplished? What kind of situation do you want to leave the people around you and your loved ones, right? When I pass, I want my girls to say, my mommy did that. She's set us up for success. She left us some property. She didn't leave no debt. She prepared us for the next generation to come. And so I always say estate planning is thinking about your legacy. So the first thing you should do is find a financial advisor.
Okay.
If you don't have one, go to your bank, go to your credit union, go to whoever you trust and feel comfortable with.
Okay.
And speak to your financial advisor.
Okay.
Part of my legacy, when you do your estate planning too, it's not just only taking care of, like, your loved ones, but I want to leave a certain portion to some nonprofit organizations that are passionate about the things that I contribute. And a lot of people don't know that they can do that as well. So I'm that girl from Jersey City, right?
Uh-huh.
Grew up in an urban community. I want to give back to an organization that's going to contribute to that next girl that's going to come way after me from Jersey City. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Thinking about your legacy. All of that, when you sit with your financial advisor, they should be asking you those questions. What are you passionate about? What do you want to do? You know, and they will help you achieve those goals. So unfortunately, it's something that's going to happen. We're all going to go one day. But when you go, you want to go out with grace and elegance and class, and it's your legacy.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I mean, that is, it's a hard conversation.
It is.
And it's something you put off, mm-hmm. but it is necessary. And I feel like a weight has been lifted off of my husband and I. Like, we both felt very good. I mean, it was a simple, you know, time with an attorney, you know, financial planners. Just, let's get this done and have that security that our families will be okay. Mm-hmm. And I hope, you know, I tease him, we'll live to 150. But if not.
Well, the way you look, honey.
Yes, I will receive
glowing.
It. I will receive it. We're going to take a quick break. You know, we have to pay those commercials and pay those bills. And then when we come back, we're going to take a little bit of a shift and talk about kind of career and how Shakira got here. I know you mentioned that you were a teller. So I really want to understand that story because you're such an inspiration. And I want you to be able to share that with our audience. So
awesome.
Stay tuned. This is Kimberly Hurston Hicks of Good Women Win, a show that's all about inspiring goodness. Take a hold.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
This is Kimberly Hairston Hicks of Good Women Lean, and we have Shakira Green in the building. She's here talking about financial stability, but really, I would say, not just stability, but really how to manage those coins for today, tomorrow, and your legacy. And I love that, because most people think about just today, but we really, to be a good woman, you need to think about tomorrow as well as when you're no longer here. So thank you. Before the break, we said we were going to talk about your career. And when you just said to me that you were a teller and you started literally from the front line, and now, you know, you are just such an inspired corporate leader, 15 years in, you know, management and finance. How did you get from A to, and I won't say Z because you're not Z yet. You have some time, and we're going to be watching and cheering you on because you have further to go. But how did you get to your point of success in your career?
So I actually got into banking by accident.
Really?
I was going to college at King University, and I was waitressing part-time at the Olive Garden on Route 22.
Shout out to King University. I actually got my undergrad there. Shout out.
So I was in school, you know, again, raised by a single mom, single parent, and so I needed to work to afford, you know, some college expenses. And I never forget, it was a Saturday lunch, the worst shift ever. Okay. I got sat the two ladies at 11 o'clock as soon as we opened for lunch, and the truck didn't come.
Okay.
And so what do people go to the Olive Garden for?
Breadsticks
and salad dressing. Well, baby, we had no breadsticks and we had no salad dressing. So I'm panicking because I always set a goal for myself. And so I said that day I needed to make $120 on this shift.
She's always been about that money.
So I was like, I ain't going to do that without no breadsticks.
Yeah.
But I get sat these two ladies, and so I come over with my bottle of Merlot, and I'm like, would you like to wine taste? And they were from Alaska. So one of the ladies lived here in New Jersey, and the other one had flew from Alaska to, and they were meeting, they were best friends.
Oh.
And so I did that, and they were trying different wines, and then you know, I got them an appetizer, and in the midst of that, 15 minutes later, the truck came. They never knew what I was going through in the background.
That is wonderful.
At the end of that dining experience, she left me her business card.
Okay.
She said, if you ever need a job, call me.
Do you know when God just can show up?
Yes, let me tell you. And so that semester, they had changed the rules where you couldn't pay your tuition throughout the year. You had to pay up front, or they dropped your bill 2 weeks after registration. So I didn't have the cash up front to pay for that semester. So I said, all right, I'm going to take a semester off, and I'll work two jobs, because I was also working at Bed Bath & Beyond corporate office in the accounting department, and then waitressing also. So I said, I'll take a semester off, save up my money, and then in January, I'm Gucci. I can go back to school.
Yes.
So I called her the next week. She hired me within 2 weeks. Like, you know, the application.
Yes, the process. Yeah.
And I got hired at a small bank in Cranford called World Savings.
Mm.
They trained me for 2 months. They sent me to California for training. And when I say it was one of the most thorough trainings I learned, when I left out of that training, I knew about power of attorney, trust.
Wow.
It was one of the most thorough trainings. And that's how I got into banking. So it was not what I wanted to do. I actually wanted to do broadcasting. I thought I was going to be the next Brenda Blackman.
Okay.
Right? But see, things always come full circle, because see, I'm still doing
broadcasting. You still are. See? Oh, I love it.
And so I got into the industry, and I learned. I was like a sponge.
Okay.
I was soaking up everything. I would ask questions. When everyone else was leaving, I was going to my manager saying, how can I help you? Can you teach me how to do that report at the end of the day?
Okay.
You know, how can I become a key leader, you know, a supervisor? And so I always was that one, the first one there and the last one leaving, and they took interest to me. And then I would look across the bank, and I would say, I want want to be on that side? How do I get on that side, which is the platform side?
Okay.
And so I had a little philosophy. I'm going to dress like them. So I would come to work with my little suit on, my little blazer, because they say you dress for the role that you want.
There you go.
So I wanted my peers and I wanted my manager to see me as a personal banker first.
Okay.
And, of course, I had to show up by my behaviors and what my performance. And opportunities just came and came. So one day they sat me down. They said, we want to teach you. You're the top home equity referral in the country. We want to teach you how to sell mortgages. And I was like, mortgage? I'm 19, 20. I'm like, what's a mortgage?
See?
They did the training, and I became one of the top mortgage consultants and the bank. And again, it just kept going. But I would say some tips that really helped was being coachable.
Okay.
I tell you, even in my role right now, I do not know it all, and I don't pretend to know it all to my team or to my clients.
Okay.
You never lose credibility by not knowing. You lose credibility by not following up.
Okay.
So that's number one. Number two, I would say have a mentor.
Have a mentor.
And a sponsor. Because they're two different things. People have heard of having a mentor.
Yes.
But a sponsor is that person that can bring you up in the room when you're not there.
Okay.
The most important decisions about your career happen when? When you're not in the room.
Absolutely.
You're not there when they decide if they're going to give you the job. You're not there when they're going to give you bonuses and increases. You're not there when they're talking about your performance.
Yes.
So you need sponsors.
Okay.
People who you can position, who are in the room, that can bring your name up in the room. To the people who of the powers who make the decisions.
I love that.
Right?
So make sure you get a mentor
and a sponsor.
And a sponsor.
Yeah. Personal branding. I think today's society, you have to brand yourself. And so at first, I always post because I'm passionate about what I do. I'm passionate about the community. I'm passionate about my team and the work that we do with helping people succeed financially. And I would share it, and I would share it on my page.
Mm-hmm.
And it got to the point where my family, my friends, when you think of your banking, I want you to think of me. We are all in a position now with social media where you can brand yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Chase has a brand. My market has a brand. But then I have my personal brand.
You definitely do.
But I think women, we are scared to do that because we don't want to come off cocky. We don't want to come off like, oh, she thinks she's all that. Listen, if you ain't branding yourself in today's world, you don't take your career into your own hands, you are going to be behind the eight ball because there's other people that are out there that are doing it. And so why not share what you're doing? It's not gloating. It's not boasting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, is a misconception in some communities where we need to share. If one person's doing it, tell your story because I want to know how to do it.
Absolutely.
You know? And you can't be afraid of that because people are going to judge you no matter what you do. They're going to judge you if you do well. They're going to judge you if you're not doing well. So why not do well and give them something to judge?
Yes.
So I would say that those are just a few things that helped me in my career, and I'm always willing to learn and do more and not being afraid. Sometimes we set limitations on ourselves. You can't be afraid. You know, when I was getting ready to take this position in Manhattan, it was so many people that was like, girl, you don't want to do that. You already got your brand over here at this bank. Everybody knows you. But let me tell you, the moment I'm not uncomfortable, I'm not growing anymore.
Yes.
So, yes, I want to be in the heart of the Big Apple. I want to be in the Shakers and the Shakers. And so I put myself out there. And guess what? Yeah, am I going to stumble and fall? We all are.
That's okay.
But that's a part of the growing process.
And I will tell you, watching you, you know, I've not known you long. I think I met you during the Sister in Business conference. I saw you, and we were introduced by a mutual friend. And Kay Lucas. Shout out to Kay.
I'm one of my mentors.
Oh, and Kay is fabulous. She's wonderful. And I will tell you, just following you, you are so inspiring. And see, I believe that, similar to what you just said, you have to see it to become it.
Yeah.
And when you see another sister doing it, it just gives you that hope and inspires you to say, definitely she can do it, I can do it. And you're doing it, lady. And Shaquille Green, I want to thank you.
For women like myself.
Thank you for that. And because I do receive it. And thank you for coming on the show. This is my seventh episode with Good Women Win, and just showcasing good women like you, I hope, you know, inspires, you know, people that are watching and listening. Please definitely like the Good Beauty page, hashtag Good Women Win. You know, DM me, share any topics you want to discuss. And if you want to be a guest on the show, definitely just, you know, definitely DM me or, you know, reach out to me. And I definitely appreciate everyone. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
This is, you know, and I try to end with, you know, my saying that, you know, a good life doesn't mean that everything is perfect.
Right.
You know, everything is not perfect. But it means that in the midst of the chaos,
right,
you still can feel God's presence. And that's what it's all about.
Well, thank you again. If anyone wants to reach me, you can find me on LinkedIn, Shakera Green, S-H-E-R-K-E-R-A, green like the color, no E at the end. And I-M-A-M underscore Shakera Green on Instagram. Thank you so much.
And I will actually post it in the link or in the comment section so that you can follow, because I'm telling you, when you see her trip to Thailand, you're going to want to get your bestie or your man or whomever and get going.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
This is
Kimberly Harrison Hicks with Good Women Win.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Employers in July added 164,000 jobs, according to the Labor Department. White House Economic Advisor Larry Kudlow tells Fox Business he's pretty happy with the report.
We faced severe monetary tightening in 2017 and 2018, although we're hovering still around the 3% mark. So I think it's a very good report.
President Trump holds one of his Make America Great Again rallies, this one in Cincinnati, Ohio. With more on the story, here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes from Washington.
President Trump holding a campaign rally in Cincinnati, Ohio last night, taking aim at cities run by Democrats. He said there's been a, quote, total one-party control of inner cities for over 100 years, and it just hasn't worked out.
Just before 2 o'clock Eastern time, the president will be making an announcement on EU trade. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
At Walgreens, we know that your day doesn't stop for diabetes. So when you've got places to go and people to see, count on Walgreens every day to get expert diabetes advice 24/7. Find all major brands of testing supplies like Walgreens True Metrics in-store and online. And download tools to help you stay on track, like our 5-star mobile app with Pill Reminder. At Walgreens, we are your diabetes go-to. Stop by and talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
North Korea is continuing to test short-term missiles. With more on the story, here's USA Radio Network's John Clemens.
North Korea conducted two separate missile launches during the early morning hours on Friday, making the third such test in just over a week. The latest launch of the ballistic missiles were fired into the sea off its eastern coast, flying 137 miles on an apogee of 15 miles. Experts say the launch was viewed more as a message to South Korea to help stop the U.S. economic sanctions imposed by Washington against North Korea. President Trump says he's not overly concerned about any violations of international treaties.
Short-range missiles, we never made an agreement on that. I have no problem. We'll see what happens. But these are short-range missiles. They're very standard.
I'm John Clemens.
The Trump administration could soon reach a deal with the Taliban that would bring troops home from Afghanistan. The Washington Post is reporting that the Taliban would agree to the ceasefire. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
According to the Anxiety and Depression Association of America, over 40 million people in the United States suffer from chronic negative thinking. But what can we do to change that? Well, I had a chance to catch up with John Gordon. He's author of a new book titled The Coffee Bean, A Simple Lesson to Create Positive Change. And one of the things I asked him was what we can